to talk now about the customs and excise, or the excise on fuel that the government announced yesterday will be extended from the 31st of July to the 1st of September and then tapered off for the remainder of the year. With me in the line to talk about this is Independent Deputy for Kerry, Danny Healy Ray. Danny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning to the people of Kerry.
And listen, Danny, what's your view on what the government have announced? There were calls to extend it, especially since the Dáil will be in recess when it was due to originally lap. They've pushed it out to 1st of September and will taper it off towards the end of the year.
Well, I was one of those deputies that was calling for it in the chamber and at the Oireachtas committee meetings in different places, because I could see that that the Dáil would be in recess after the 16th or 17th of July, and that we said that the concessions that people were given were going to end the end of July. And now I welcome that it's been extended till the 1st of September. But I'm wondering what's going to happen after that, or directly after that, because the Dáil won't still be back on the 1st of September. And I hope that the thing won't be left open until we get back the 17th of September.
Yes. I mean, what they're saying, Danny, on that is that they will taper it off from that point on. So the 1st of September, excise will increase by 9 cent on petrol and 10 cent on diesel under the unwinding of the supports. That's what they're saying as the plan now.
Well, you see, Jerry, I'm concerned about that, and very concerned. And as we're standing here today, the packages that were promised to contractors and farmers and all people, no person has received a penny yet. And it remains to be seen what people will get and who qualified and who qualified for what. And there's an awful lot that we don't know yet. And what we do know is that the cost of living is increasing every whole day, Jerry. And the real reason for that is the cost of fuel, and the cost of energy is driving every whole thing up. If you're going to work, if you're working, using your car to go to work or whatever, the cost has risen massively. And if you go back, just take to the wrong 175 now, maybe in a lot of places, there's still 180. Yeah. And if we'll add 20 or 30 cents onto that, it'll be over €2 a litre. And you see, what needs to be explained as well, the government's taking in taxes has doubled, their expectations has doubled. And they must appreciate the people that are paying those taxes and give back, because I said at that time on the 24th of March, and I remember clearly, people were offered 3 cents and green diesel and heating oil, 3 cents, and it had gone up by 70 and 80 cents. And just remember today, Jerry, there was nothing done for the people in home heating oil yet.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot yet left to be done and to sort it out, because the government are raking in the tax. Their tax takers doubled in recent months. And tis that, where is it coming from, Jerry? It is coming from the people on the road, the people that are paying for home heating oil, for green diesel, and for all the different oils that people have to do for to keep going. It has risen, and then it has risen the cost of everything else, if delivery vans and everything, so they have to charge away more than lorries. Everything comes by road. Even to Kinmare, where you live in, or Killarney, or wherever it is, every part of Kerry, costs have gone way up because of the cost of fuel. And yes, the reason for it was the war, but we shouldn't be taking any extra taxes on the extra cost of the oil that's coming in now. Because
so would you like to see them extend it then to the end of the year, Danny? Would you like to see them extend the cuts to right to the end of the year before they start unwinding them? Is that what you're saying?
Until we see where we are, and until we see that there's a reduction in the world on the barrel of oil where it leaves the oil wells, until we see that there's a constant reduction in that, because it's very volatile at the minute. It's up and down.
It's at $73 a barrel at the moment. If you go back to February, it was kind of 70, 71. Now, if you go back as far as maybe early February, it was $61, or January, start of the year, $65 we got. So it is higher than it was, but it's much lower than it was as well. And it's been coming down over the last few weeks. So would we know more by September in terms of where it's at? If it stays at 70, it goes maybe even lower. Would that allow them to increase the excise?
Well, we should know. And we should know by the middle or end of September to see what way the thing is staying at. But as it is, Jerry, why should Irish people be paying the highest taxes on motor fuels in Europe, heavily dependent on petrol and diesel cars, especially in rural areas? We know that's buses or trains, and the exorbitant cost of electric cars and the driving range. We don't have enough charging points or whatever. They're grand if we can afford them, and if it'll work for you, but it doesn't work for many. And we're in rural areas. Kerry is by and large a very rural county, from vast distances back to Valencia Island, where Mick O'Connor lives, away at the western end of Valencia, and then back to Cooig and Lorick and the Dingle, Slade and Vintry. They were massive journeys for any people that was working in Cork or having to travel to hospitals or anything, even to come to Tralee. They're travelling massive journeys, Jerry. And yes, I would like to see the thing extended, because I do believe the money is there. And by and large, the most of it is coming in from taxes paid by people using green diesel, white diesel, petrol and everything else. Most of the taxes are there to be given back to the people that have paid through the nose for the extra cost. And if we were to take the levies off now, right away, it would be over €2 a litre, and people just couldn't survive. I mean, at that time, and it was a serious time, the amount of people, the different variation of people to run nurses' home helps, carers, teachers, farmers, contractors, hauliers, it was across the board. Everyone was up in arms. It's affecting everyone, the cost of fuel, Jerry.
Okay, all right, Danny, stay with me. I just want to talk about one or two other things, including rural planning as well. We'll get to that after we take these. We're talking with Independent Deputy Danny Healy-Ray in relation to the fuel excise cuts, which have been extended to the 1st of September. Danny, something else announced yesterday were the draft guidelines on rural planning, something that you have been calling for a long time. Are you happy this morning with what's been proposed by the government, at least?
Well, look, Jerry, you're right, and I'm glad that you recognise the fact that I have been on about it every single whole day and every opportunity I got since I got up here. Look, I welcome a lot of what I have heard, Jerry. I haven't had time to read the whole lot of what is has been proposed, but I suppose we have to wait and see what way the local authority interprets what has been announced by the government, because there's often a big difference between what the way the local authority interprets the laws that are outlined, and maybe not to the way of the extent that we would want them to do. So it's yet to be played out, and I suppose the devil is in the detail, and what restrictions will remain or whatever, or who will be affected. But certainly it is a serious issue where, for me, for that people who want to put a roof over their own heads, who will pay the cost, who will borrow the money or put up the money or whatever, that they have been denied the chance of building a house for themselves. Indeed, we know many people that have gone abroad because of this, because, like Irish people, it's their nature to want to put a house over, a roof over their heads, and own a home, and that has been part of our constitution, I suppose, going back more than 100s of years. And why should this generation be treated differently? And there's so many places being denied planning. This urban generated pressure is causing mayhem, because the people that were always living out the country, it was supposed to affect people, stop people from coming out from towns, but it's the people that were never in town are being affected and deprived of the chance of putting a roof over their heads, which is very, very wrong, Jerry.
Yeah, do you think it the possibility of what's needed for towns and villages as well, particularly, Danny, and if you talk about rural And those sort of things, that you also need people living in villages. Over the Shop Living, there's grants for that now, because if you don't have a vibrant village centre or a town centre, you'll be struggling to get people to come to move to an area in the first place. So what would you, would that be a concern, that this will lead to one-off housing outside and nothing happening in the town centre?
I'm very concerned about that, Jory. And you see, there's so many settlements, we call them towns and villages, that don't yet have a treatment plant at all for sewerage. Are the treatment plants inadequate? And we must start, maybe it's not, how to say, nice to be talking about sewerage or whatever, but it is a fact. You have to get these things in place. And there's at least 40 settlements in trouble in Kerry that need funding and need attention. They have been left behind for the last 20 years or more. Just take Castle Island even. A third of the town is on septic tanks. And back in 1986, I found documents that my father left behind where he was fighting for to get all of Castle Island a treatment plant, into the treatment plant. That still hasn't happened. That's 50. That's far more than 40 years ago. But there's places like Scotland and Castle Island and Scotland and Corrib don't even have a treatment plant. Places like my van, they can't build another house at the treatment plant, and they're only 10 miles out from or so from Listowel. And these places, they're left totally and absolutely behind. And you see, it's
so infrastructure will be needed for those places to keep them vibrant and allow people to build there in the first place, aside from the planning guidelines.
Certainly. They brought in something there recently where a developers can build 60 or 70 houses and build the treatment plant.
And provide their own treatment plant. Yeah.
But these places weren't zoned for residential because of the fact. So we must go back now. Where if some builder decides to build outside of Kilgarvan, somewhere, or even I know a place in Guinea Villa that's left behind, it wasn't zoned because it was deemed that that wasn't able to be serviced by the sewerage system,
that'll have to be changed at council level now to allow this new rule to be taken advantage of by developers. That there'll be, the councils will have to rezone land again, is what you're saying, you think?
Exactly, sure. That's very clear. The reason they weren't zoned, because they didn't have the services, and that was the reason management gave, and fine, that was their reason, and that had to be adhered to. But now, we're looking up that the developers can build the treatment plants themselves, but those places are not zoned. So there's an awful lot of work I can see to be done before we can actually go building houses again.
Several chances to change that, and there'll be a body of work to be done anyway by local authorities in terms of changing their county development plans to reflect the new rural planning guidance. So a lot of work for councillors to do. Separate to that, Danny, you're back being an opposition politician after the decision that you and your brother made in relation to supporting the government. It was over the excise fuel in the first place. What's your view on things now, Danny, specifically after your brother Michael Healy-Ray said the reason he left government, the reason he resigned as a minister, was because of the comments you made, critical of the government on this programme? What's your response to what he said?
Well, look, every man will have to stand over what he says himself, and I'm not sorry for standing with the people, and I attended a lot of meetings, including the one in the bypass where so many people were hooked and out of sorts, even not talking to us, and yes, I blame the Taoiseach for and indeed Simon Harris for being so slow. I raised, when they offered 3 cents and people paying 17, 80 cents more, I said before, and I'll say it again, it was like a red rag to the bull to do just that. And it was terrible. And in the same vein, then the Minister McEntee gave 40 million to the Ukrainians on the 1st of April in the middle of the whole thing. They drove the people mad. And I say again, Micheál Martin threw petrol in the flames every time he spoke, rather than trying to understand that people were in difficulty and serious difficulty and their livelihood.
Yeah, and that's why you did what you did. That's how strong you felt about it. But what's your response to his words saying that you basically cost Kerry a ministry by those comments and by the anger you displayed in the decision you made?
I don't accept that, but I'm not going back in that now. I stand over standing with the people, and I make no apology anywhere to you or to anyone for doing that, and because I couldn't stay with a government that were behaving that way and antagonising the people so much, and they wouldn't talk to some people that came from the west of Ireland. God almighty, there was enough rooms and enough ministers here in Dublin to talk to everyone. There was just four people, sent them home, and that hurt me to the bone, because that's not what I'm about. I talk to every man and woman, and I put up my finger and my hand to everyone that I can, because that's the way I was brought up, and not I'll stay people, and I'm working harder than ever now, and we'll continue to do that, because there's an awful lot of work still to be done.
Would you accept, though, that these words that Kerry has been hurt by the fact that it doesn't have a minister anymore, a minister for state in agriculture anymore, because of the decision you made?
I'm not responsible for that. That's what I'm saying about that.
Yeah.
And
so it was his own decision, regardless of what you say.
Some other time, I'll go into detail with you about that, but I'm not to blame for that. I don't anyone try to say that I'm to blame for that, because that's not true.
Okay, Danny, final point. How would you describe your political relationship now with Michael Healy-Rae and his son Jackie, Councillor Jackie Healy-Rae? Are you still rowing in the same direction?
I'm walking away, and they're walking away, and we'll continue working for the people of Kerry, and that's as far as I'm going with you, Jerry. I'm not going into family matters.
Okay, all right, Danny. Listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me in the programme this morning on those issues. That's Deputy Danny Healy-Rae with his view on the excise cut. He wants it extended beyond September 1st to the end of the year, and his view on planning as well in relation to how local authorities are going to interpret. An interesting point he made about the changes to developers providing their own waste treatment plants in areas where there aren't waste treatment plants or not sufficient capacity, that he feels that rezoning will have to be looked at in several areas of Kerry to allow that to happen. Give us your view on that.